Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we are just humbled again by the fact of what you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, that we have your word in a language that we can understand. But Lord, give us insight, give us wisdom, and teach us this morning in your name. Amen. I'm sure you've all heard that philosophical question that is asked sometimes, that if a tree falls in the forest and there is no one to hear it, does it make a noise? Have you heard that question? It's a question that we could probably debate for hours and hours and hours, and, well, will we ever know the answer? But for the disciples, they were asking a question similar to this. Not exactly the same question about a tree falling in a forest, but they were asking a similar sort of question. If you have a look in chapter 14, and we've only read a portion of chapter 14 this morning, but in the preceding verses, Jesus has been telling his disciples that he is going to leave this world and go to be with his Father. Just have a look here. Thomas's question in verse 5. Jesus had just told them that he's going to leave. And Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Or verse 9, Jesus is alluding to another question that his disciples have asked him. And he says at the end of verse 9, how can you say, show us the Father? You see, the question that the disciples had on their mind was, if Jesus is leaving us, and as they had learnt in Jesus' life in this world, if Jesus is the way to God, and he is now leaving, how then are we going to get to God? And you can see that their question is a valid question. Jesus has been telling us over and over again that he is the way into God's kingdom. In John's gospel in specific, there's a whole bunch of I ams. You remember those statements? I am the gate, and anyone who comes through me comes to the Father. Jesus saying, I am the shepherd, I am the bread, I am the light. And in all of those, Jesus is saying, I am the way to the Father. So can you understand now where the disciples are coming from and where this discussion goes on to as Jesus now begins to explain to them that, yes, he is the way to the Father, but don't worry, I won't leave you in this world without someone. So really, that's what Jesus says in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Now, I just want to make two comments this morning, a short discussion on the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Spirit of holiness. My first comment that I want to make this morning is about the Spirit of truth, because I think we cannot understand the Spirit of holiness until we realize the Spirit of truth. And so Jesus says, as he's finishing off talking to his disciples about the fact that he is going away, he says to them in verse 15 that if you love me, you will obey what I command. And then comes the great bit, verse 16, and he, of course the Father, will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That counselor, verse 17, the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now Jesus says that this Spirit of truth is given to all who love him, who know him, verse 18, for he lives with you and will be with you. In previous discussions we've had on the Holy Spirit, I've alluded to the fact that when we accept what Jesus has done for us on the cross, the Holy Spirit fills our lives immediately. And that's what Jesus is saying here. The Spirit of truth is given to every person that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusts him with their life and repents of their wicked ways and follows him. But I want to just bring out two little comments about the Spirit of truth here. And really they're based on the words, the language that John uses. So he says, I will give you another counselor. Now the idea of another here is not something that's similar but different. The idea of another here is another of exactly the same. So let me make this, or illustrate this a little bit for you. Let's say you've got a set of coffee mugs at home, and they're all part of a set. And, well, as sometimes happens, a coffee mug gets knocked, it hits the floor, it smashes. Now, you could go off and buy just any old other mug. It's the same. It's a mug, it's going to hold coffee, it's going to do the same job. But would it be part of that set? Not at all, would it? It's different. In order to replace that broken mug, you'd have to go and find a mug from another set that looks exactly the same and replace it with another mug of exactly the same. And that's what Jesus is meaning here when he says another counselor will come. Another counselor. On that day, Jesus says in verse 20, you will realize that I am the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You see, what else could Jesus be meaning when he says another counselor, if he's not meaning I, in the form of the Holy Spirit, will be with you? It's not a different part of God. It's not like we've got God the Father who's there, and Jesus who is there, and the Holy Spirit who is there. Remember, in the Trinity, they are all one. And so if we have the Holy Spirit in us, we don't have a different part of God. We have God. We have the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, I will send you another counselor. In other words, while I might not be with you physically, I will be with each Christian person in the form of the Holy Spirit. But the other word that I just want to chat about, and that's not just the word other, but it's the idea of counselor. Some translations of the Bible actually have there, instead of counselor, they have the word advocate. Now, if you know what legal terms are, an advocate is someone who will plead our case to a judge. And Jesus is saying, here is someone coming who's exactly the same as us, who is not going to plead our case before God, but is going to plead God's case before us. It's the other way around. Yes, the Holy Spirit does paint us as great and as holy in God's eyes, so he does work both ways, but the counselor, the advocate, is someone who is going to come and help us to understand God, to understand who he is, what he has done. And so the Spirit of truth comes into each one of our lives. He comes as God. He comes to show us who God is. Because look what Jesus carries on to say, and this is my second comment now, the Spirit of holiness. If we have God living in us in the form of the Holy Spirit, then the characteristics of God, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on, which we've already discussed, are the gifts or is the fruit that the Holy Spirit gives us, are in fact supposed to be part of who we are. One of the main functions of the Holy Spirit is exactly what the Lord Jesus tells us in verse 15. If you love me, you will obey my command. He says something similar in verse 21. Have a look there. John 14 and verse 21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. So how can we know the way to the Father? Well, if we accept what Jesus has done on the cross. We are given the Holy Spirit, and God will show himself to us through the Holy Spirit, through his Son. Again, Jesus says in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. So according to Jesus, the mark of a true Christian is obedience to the commands and teachings of the Lord Jesus. And so I suppose we can say by implication, anyone who claims to be a Christian but does not obey the words of Jesus does not love him and can't be called a Christian. You see what Jesus is saying here? That when we receive the Spirit of truth, we are expected to also live according to the Spirit of holiness. And we are meant to obey the Lord and to follow him in all that we do. Now friends, this is quite a big point that Jesus is making here. For there are many, many people in our world today, in our own society, in our own town, who claim to be Christian. But they only obey God when it's going to work in their favor. They only do the right thing if it's going to be beneficial for their own cause. So if by standing up for Jesus it means I'm going to lose friends, for many people, then they won't stand up for Jesus. If by standing up for Jesus it means that perhaps my finances are going to come right, well, then I'll stand up for Jesus. Do you see how many people respond to Jesus today? And Jesus is saying here, if you do not obey my commands, well then, you're not really a Christian. Now let me just say here that Jesus understands that all of us sin. I sin, you sin, you just have to ask your spouse if you sin, and they will tell you. Jesus understands that we still have the sinful nature living in our lives. But he also realizes that when we turn to him, we are going to turn our back on many of the things we used to do. And so while we might still fall back into them on occasions, these things are not going to be the things that control our life anymore. And we're going to fight against them. Sometimes initially that fight is really difficult. And we fall into it lots and we sin lots. But as we grow stronger and stronger in the Lord, we end up being able to say, I'm not going to do that wicked thing. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's not meaning that we must live perfect lives. None of us can live perfect lives. But he is saying that we need to strive to do our best to honor him, to be holy to him. Not just when it suits us, but all the time. See, it means that we do not give in to the ways of the world, although sometimes we might. It means that we put aside the things that the world is interested in and focus on Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us to live for Jesus and to obey his teachings. But notice here that the Holy Spirit helps us to obey Jesus' commands in two ways. Verse 26, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Do you see the two ways that the Holy Spirit works? He teaches us and instructs us in the ways of the Lord, and he reminds us of what Jesus has said. This means that as we are being instructed by the Holy Spirit, it means that the Holy Spirit is not bringing us new words or fresh thoughts to our minds, but rather he is teaching us, he's instructing us in what Jesus has said, in what God has told us. In other words, the way that the Holy Spirit teaches us is not by having some super spiritual experience, but is by helping us as we read the Bible to grapple with it. I'm sure many of you have had occasions where you've been reading the Bible and perhaps a familiar passage, and as you read the Bible, suddenly something new jumps out at you in that passage. And you say, wow, I never noticed that before. And you go back and you read it. Friends, it's the Holy Spirit teaching you from the Bible. The way the Holy Spirit works in our lives is not by some fancy magic, but is merely by helping us to read the Bible, to understand the Bible. And so that means, friends, that if you and I claim to be a Christian, but we are never reading God's Word, how then will we know what God wants us or how God wants us to live? If we're not studying God's Word, if we're not meeting together around God's Word, whether it be in Bible studies or at church groups or at youth groups or wherever, if we're not doing that, friends, how is the Holy Spirit going to teach us? Friends, we need to be digging into God's Word at every level of our lives. So when we're at work, do we have little reminders of God's Word? Perhaps on our phone. Perhaps on our computer. Perhaps a little picture on the desk. Are we being taught by the Holy Spirit at every level of our lives? So not only does the Holy Spirit teach us, but also the Holy Spirit reminds us, and that's the second thing that the Holy Spirit does for us. He reminds us of what the Lord taught. Now, the idea of being reminded about something is not just so that we can remember, but so that we can be reminded into action. Remembering something often has a lot more to do with more than just the thought. It has to do with an action. Imagine for a moment that you, as a married couple, have an anniversary, which all married couples do. Imagine that as the spouse, you remember the anniversary, but you do nothing with it. So there's no card given, there's no happy anniversary, love, there's no taking out for a meal or whatever the case might be. Oh, I remembered it, love. I did. I certainly did remember our anniversary. It's just, you don't remember your anniversary and then do nothing about it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. We don't just remember what Jesus taught about it and say, yeah, that's nice. Very good. No, we remember what Jesus has taught for us so that we might obey what he has said. Being reminded by the Holy Spirit of what God has taught us so that we might obey him. But of course the trouble is we tend to ignore the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we try to put on a show. It's easy to convince one another that we're Christian. We can have all the right language and lingo and say all the right things and be in all the right places and seek people's approval and people's pleasure. But as David Jackman says, as soon as we become more concerned about other people's assessment of us rather than an impassioned desire to be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord, growing in his likeness, David Jackman says, we start to become the prisoners of a system of human achievement rather than being entirely and desperately dependent upon God's grace. Friends, are we trusting in the grace and the undeserved favor of the Lord in giving us the Holy Spirit, even though he's not with us in person as the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we listening to the teaching of the Holy Spirit? Are we being reminded by the Holy Spirit so that we might be reminded into action? Or are we trusting in our own achievements, our own abilities? How I dress, what I wear, what I say. Friends, we need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to teach us, to remind us of what God the Father and God the Son have said. But notice here also what happens as the Spirit of holiness, works in our lives. Right at the end of the section, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. See, friends, when we allow the love of the Lord God to work through us in the form of the Holy Spirit, it brings us into what the Bible calls holiness. That is a right standing with God. And as we stand before God, knowing that we are holy, it brings peace. Of course, the world always speaks about peace as me not fighting with you, or something else like that. Lack of violence. That's not what the Lord Jesus is saying is peace in this particular incident. He's saying that the peace comes when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, as you live for the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit teaches us, as the Holy Spirit reminds us. Then we have peace. I'm sure you've noticed that some mature Christians who've been through very, very difficult time periods always seem to have a sense of joy and a sense of hope despite their circumstance. And friends, that is the peace of the Holy Spirit that is upon them. As we listen to the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit teaches us, as the Holy Spirit reminds us the very words of God, as we obey the Lord God, as we obey Him and our obedience begins with our repentance, as we seek forgiveness for our sin, which is all part of obeying the words of God, when we are forgiven of our rejection of God, and we are shown what Jesus did for us, it brings a peace. And friends, I cannot explain that peace until you can feel it for yourself. When we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to remind and teach us of God's Word, we can have total peace and be seen as holy in God's eyes. So friends, if we claim to love the Lord, as Jesus is saying here, if you love me, are we obeying Him? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us? Are we giving the Holy Spirit opportunities to teach us? Or are we sitting with closed Bibles and, well, really just come along and open the Bible on a Sunday morning? Friends, we need to spend time in God's Word so that the Holy Spirit can teach us, so that the Holy Spirit can remind us, so that we can be holy. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do just come before you this morning and we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage on the Holy Spirit that just reminds us of how holy you are. And it just reminds us, Lord, of this fact that you are a spirit of truth. And that you come as God Himself into our lives, teaching us, instructing us, reminding us of all that you have said. Lord, help us to take heed of that in your name. Amen.